Hello and welcome to NC State's Audio Abstract. I'm your host, Tracy Peek. The holidays are here, and NC State's College of Veterinary Medicine wants to help you keep your pets safe and healthy during your celebrations. I'm speaking with Brenda Stevens, an associate clinical professor in the Department of Clinical Sciences, about hidden holiday health hazards for pets. Welcome, Brenda.
Thank you, Tracy. Good morning. It's nice to be here.
Thanks. Well, let's start with the most obvious question, food. When we're talking about the holidays, there's food everywhere. And pets like to partake of the goodies just as much as we do. So what are some health hazards with foods?
Absolutely. And if you have a dog like mine that likes to be on the counter and surfing to find the best treats, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. There are some of the basic ones that we think about. Chocolate should be off limits for dogs and cats, as well as alcohol. Some animals will go towards that holiday eggnog or a beer that's sitting around, so we need to be careful with those. And then finally, one thing that we don't think about too much are grapes and raisins. Many people are not aware of the fact that grapes and raisins can be toxic to dogs, and it does not matter the amount. The amount seems to be individual per pet, so we really need to be careful if you have any cookies that have raisins in them or treats or things like that.
So raisins, that's interesting. So what if a dog has, say, snuck a treat with some raisins in it and you are unaware? What kind of symptoms would they show if they've been poisoned by raisins?
Right. Many times the first thing that you'll see will be some vomiting. But further on down the line, we can see some kidney issues. So if they do think that their pet has gotten into something with raisins or grapes in it, I would highly recommend they contact their veterinarian to see if their pet is going to need some care as far as making the pet vomit and having some activated charcoal or something along those lines to try to prevent any absorption of that.
Okay. I'm curious, what makes a grape toxic to a dog?
We really don't know, per se. We know that the thought is that it may have something to do with the sugars in the grapes and the raisins. But we know that some animals can tolerate them fine, but some animals can actually have some very, very serious kidney effects with them.
So it's best just to avoid it completely.
Absolutely.
We know that cats particularly like to eat all your plants. They just nibble the leaves off of the plants. And so at Christmas time, we have sometimes some exotic plants, as well as trees and other things in the house that aren't normally there. So what should we avoid putting in the house if we have cats?
Right, exactly right. Some of the plants that we try to avoid, and of course these are the plants that we have at Christmas time, would be mistletoe, holly, and lilies. So those are the big three that we try to avoid. Other things to think about, though, are with your Christmas tree, many people will put a preservative of some sort in the water of the Christmas tree to try to extend the life cycle of that tree. Aspirin has been something common, and then there are some other additives. Aspirin is toxic to cats, and so we need to be very, very careful. I would highly encourage you not to put any additives in that tree water in case your pet dog or cat does wind up licking it.
Okay, so that would also happen if you got fresh flowers, because a lot of times if you get flowers from companies, they send that preservative along with it.
Many times those can be toxic to pets.
Okay, so let your flowers wilt a little earlier and you'll be fine.
Exactly
now,
right.
Poinsettias in particular.
The poinsettia, the leaves can be irritating for dogs and cats if they wind up chewing on them.
Okay.
They're not highly toxic in the fact that we get super worried about them, but they can cause some stomach upset and some vomiting and diarrhea and stuff that you just want to try to avoid.
What about decoration dangers? Just things that you're not necessarily, you know, they're not necessarily going to poison your dog food-wise or cat food-wise, but they can harm them in some way.
Yes. Well, if you have a Christmas tree, some people like to decorate their Christmas trees with some food products, so gingerbread men, popcorn strands, that sort of thing, and those can be highly enticing to dogs and or cats. The other thing that we do try to stay away from with Christmas tree decorating is tinsel, the little tinsel strands. Little tinsel strands can be very attractive to cats, and cats are notorious for getting what we call a linear foreign body, which means the strip of tinsel can get stuck underneath their tongue, and then the rest of the strand passes along, and it can cause bunching of the intestines. So I would recommend if you have a cat, probably best to stay away from the tinsel in case they do wind up eating it. Plus, just being careful to secure your tree from the standpoint that cats are going to be curious about it. Your dog may be curious about it. If you have a cat like mine, your cat may climb your tree. And so making sure that your tree is secured so it doesn't tip over. And in addition, being cautious with the electrical lights on a Christmas tree or around your home, because many pets will be attracted towards chewing on the electrical cords. So I would definitely unplug when you're not at home.
Yeah, my cats are notorious for chewing on cords.
Absolutely. And I don't know why, but they love to do it.
It's very strange.
Yeah. And they can. And they can be electrocuted, or they can have some very significant mouth burns. So being careful, yes.
We're also on the road quite a bit during the holiday season. So what are some of the pitfalls of pet travel that we might need to be aware of?
Right. I think a couple of things to think about with pet travel is, one, always make sure that your pet has identification on them. As far as a collar, microchips are great too, but I think a collar, you can have a temporary tag that has your cell phone number so that if you're away, they're not calling your home looking for your pet. Your cats should be secured in a carrier, and that carrier should be secured in a car, as well as your dog should be secured in the car so that they're not running about in case you have to stop suddenly. But I do think that having identification on your pet in case something happens is paramount to trying to get them back. The other thing to think about as we're traveling or as people are coming into our homes is anxiety for the pets. Many pets are anxious when they're in the car. Many pets get car sick when they're in the car. Many pets can become anxious in your home when you have 30 people that they don't know and there's music and loud and a bunch of things going on that they're not used to. So I think it's nice if you can, I would segregate your pets when you're having a party so that they're in a room by themselves, the door is closed, they have their safe space. You don't have to worry about them getting scraps from all the people who love to give your dog or kitty something to eat off the table and nobody realizes that they're the 14th person to give them a little bite of chicken or something like that. And as well that they can relax and be comfortable in their surroundings. If you feel that your pet does have some anxiety issues, there are some medications that can help take the edge off. So you may wish to speak to your veterinarian about what would be best for your pet.
To help them kind of ease through the holidays.
Exactly right.
So what is the weirdest thing you've ever seen a dog or a cat consume that's holiday related?
So one of the funniest things I saw was we had a husky when I was in practice up in Connecticut. And around the time they had these toys called Pound Puppies and Pound Kittens, which was a dog or a cat, and then they had little puppies or kittens inside and they unzipped. And part of the surprise was you didn't know how many puppies or kittens were going to come out. And apparently a little girl was playing with her pound kitten, and I don't know if she got some food on it or something like that, but the dog wound up eating the pound cat. And the best part was when we took the x-ray to see what the dog had eaten, we saw three beautiful little kittens looking at us from inside the dog's stomach.
Very nice.
Yes. Fortunately, it all worked out well, and we were able to extract the kittens from the dog. But it was a learning experience, I think, for all of us. And I still have a picture of that x-ray because having three little kittens looking at you was just...
from the stomach of a dog.
Exactly right.
Excellent. Well, and, you know, it's another sort of cautionary tale. You get the dog's fine, but that is an unexpected holiday expense that you may not want to be looking at
exactly
time of year.
Right. And if you had asked me what I thought the dog was going to eat that, I would have probably said no. So always erring on the side of caution, being that we're not really sure what our pets are going to do sometimes. So being careful and trying to pick things up.
Are there any particular issues that might affect exotic pets that we don't think of when we think of dogs or cats, like hamsters or turtles or birds or lizards, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think one of the things is making sure that these pets are secure, and especially some of the birds can be sensitive to temperature changes. If you have people coming into your house and the door is open, making sure that the bird is in an area where it can stay warm or whatever the temperature that bird likes to be at. And also making sure that folks aren't feeding them things that they normally would not eat. A lot of people, you know, we express love by food, and we might feed our pets something a little bit different than they're used to eating. So being careful that your guests know that your exotic pets, whichever they are, have a specific diet or a specific temperature that they need to stay at, and we shouldn't be messing with them too much.
And is there anything else that we haven't covered?
One other thing that can happen is, especially if we're making breads and that sort of thing, is dough, and especially yeast doughs. When doughs are rising, many dogs can become attracted to that and eat that. And the problem with dough as it is expanding, one is that a small amount of dough can become a large amount of dough inside this dog's stomach. In addition, it can metabolize into some forms of alcohol or ferment, essentially, and cause a secondary problem where the dog can become inebriated due to the alcohol content. So the yeast dough, be careful if you're proofing it in a microwave, in your oven, or someplace where the dog can't get it.
We don't want dough-drunk dogs. Yes, indeed. Well, thank you very much for being here, Brenda. I'm sure this will be helpful to folks, stuff to keep in mind while we're celebrating this holiday season.
I hope so, and the goal always is for everybody to have a great holiday, and that includes our pets.
I've been speaking with Brenda Stevens, an associate clinical professor in the Department of Clinical Sciences here at NC State's College of Veterinary Medicine. I'm Tracy Peake. This has been Audio Abstract. Thanks so much for listening.